Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
I just see there, Micheál Lehane in the newsroom is reporting that the Tánaiste has told the Enterprise Committee that he hopes indoor dining will resume in early July. On outdoor dining and drinking, which will be permitted from the 7th of June, Leo Varadkar said the guidelines are currently being drafted. But he said from the 7th of June, there'll be six people to a table. Tables will probably be a metre apart. And the Tánaiste said there'd be no time limits and people would not be required to buy a substantial meal. But I suppose the big news is that he hopes indoor dining will resume in early July. Now, the recent cyber attack on the HSE's IT system has once again raised the issue of online security. Do you know how safe your online data is and what you can do to protect yourself from being targeted by criminals? Ciara O'Brien is business and technology journalist with the Irish Times and joins me to answer that and more. Good morning, Ciara.
Good morning.
So we've all become much more conscious of our own security since the HSE cyber attack. But cybercrime is very common, isn't it?
It is. I mean, look, there's an estimate that there's an attack about every 30 seconds globally. So you're not only talking about ransomware attacks like we saw with the HSE this week, but also phishing attacks, fake sites, viruses, you know, these attacks called DDoS attacks. Basically, the cybercrime is quite big. It's an industry now. So people think, you know, they see that the likes of the HSE attack, and obviously it's something huge, so it's attention grabbing. But this kind of low level attacks are always going on in the background. And even actually with ransomware attacks, more are happening than people realize. It's just you don't always hear about them because they don't affect us. Mm-hmm. Something like the HSE, I mean, it's our health system. Obviously it grabs attention. We think, you know, it's our health data. Whereas, you know, it could be a small company that's been hit by a ransomware attack and you'd never find out about it.
And what's the most common type of scam that people would succumb to? Because we all get the text messages or the emails that look dodgy, but what are the ones that tend to catch people out?
Lately, the ones that a lot of people are seeing and falling for are things like a text message that you get claiming to be from a delivery company. I mean, obviously, with Brexit, you know, now we have a lot more to deal with in terms of paying customs charges on items that we've ordered that would have come from the UK. These started even before Brexit, and couple of members of my own family got them, and that was the kind of the giveaway because we knew that there weren't going to be custom charges in November for something that was coming from Britain. So they were fairly obvious to spot, but these attacks are getting more and more sophisticated, and a lot of the time when you go to the websites, unless you know what to look for, and even when you do know what to look for, a lot of the time it's, you know, they're so clever and they're so good that people are being fooled by it, and you're handing over either financial data or personal data, and all this has value.
So what's the basic rule then, Ciara, when it comes to messages like that?
The basic rule would be if you have ordered something, they'll give you a tracking number. And even those texts that arrived, they had a tracking number with it. Check the tracking number for a start and check it by going to the website independently of the link that comes in that text message. If you click on that link, it'll send you to a dodgy website. If you get something that claims to be from DPD or OnPost, if you go to OnPost's website by actually going and typing in the address into the website bar yourself, you'll get to the genuine one. And if you put a tracking number in, like obviously that tracking number is going to be fake. And that's how, to be honest, that's how I've checked a few myself, because I've got some very clever ones that, you know, had I not been aware that this was going on, I might have fallen for it. And, you know, and it's not even just coming by text message. I mean, my mother, for example, got a phone call claiming to be from Amazon about her Amazon Prime subscription. Now, this isn't the first time it's happened. I'd completely forgotten about it, but the same thing happened last year, saying that, you know, your Amazon Prime subscription was overdue and it was going to be charged unless you wanted to talk to somebody from customer service. And the idea being that, you know, obviously you'll talk to somebody who is not from Amazon at all, because Amazon don't ring your home phone. They'll send you an email, or they'll go through their own. And when you log into the website, they'll let you know that your subscription is expiring. But these are, I mean, there were so many people who actually contacted me about that recently. And then it happened again to my mother while I was in the house, you know. Right. And if you don't know what to look for, I mean, it's very easy to fool you.
It is. And in our house, we got one this week from purporting to be from the Department of Social Protection. And you do have to stop and think and remind yourself that this is likely to be a scam. And then people will remember on Liveline yesterday, the Bank of Ireland one, which tricked so many people because it looked perfectly legit unless you just you had to actually stop yourself from acting. Can we talk about passwords, Ciara? How do hackers find out your password?
Well, assuming you aren't using something that's very obvious, like your birthday or your pet's name, or something that's very easily guessed, like a common password, what happens is your passwords will often have been leaked in one of the many, many data breaches that have happened. I mean, I've lost track of the number of emails that I've gotten to say, oh, we're very sorry, we've had a data breach, your password details were taken, but no financial data was taken. So this is, I mean, if you're the type of person who reuses passwords, and look, we all are, we've all done it. I don't think there's anybody who can claim to be perfect when it comes to this, unless they actually work in cybersecurity themselves and they know the risks. I mean, I've reused passwords. Obviously, I don't anymore. But if you do reuse passwords and your details have been taken, you know, what'll happen is that they're sold on, you know, somebody may try them in different websites, and it's just a case of, you know, trying to get lucky. So if you use the same password for your email that you use for your social media, or that you use, say, for your Amazon account, you know, that opens up quite a lot of avenues of attack against you.
Yeah, I get this warning which tells me that my passwords are compromised. And if I sat down and addressed that now, it would take me a long time, because it's a list of 15 passwords. Should I? When you get the warning from Google,
I would advise it. And yes, it does take quite a long time. I've done it myself, but I think I had about 40 passwords that were compromised. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's your password that has been compromised, you know, that my password attached to my email address has been compromised. What it means is that if you use a common word, that it may have shown up in a list of passwords that have been compromised, not necessarily linked to your account, but that it is out there and these passwords can be tried. So if you use like your dog's name, like 10 other people could have used that as a password, that's taken in a data breach from somebody else's account, but now it's a password that has been compromised. Okay. The best thing to do is change that.
Top tip, stop being lazy, stop ignoring the warnings and change your passwords. What about the ones that you know, if you use iPhone as I do, it prompts you to use the password that they suggest, and they say it's a strong password. Is that a good idea?
Well, it would be a better idea than reusing the same password over and over again. Usually with the iPhone in particular, all those passwords are saved into a keychain, which is locked, either with your thumbprint, your password, your face ID. So they can't be accessed unless you have that password, unless you have that authentication. Those passwords are random. I mean, look, human beings, we're not random by nature. So even when you think you're putting in a random password, you're probably not. So the idea that these machine-generated passwords would be better than anything you could come up with, it's probably accurate. I mean, using a password manager in general, I mean, is a good idea. And it seems, to be honest, when I started using one first, it just seemed like the wrong thing to do, because all your passwords are hidden in this vault and they're protected by one strong password. But it's something that security experts recommend that you do, because it means you practice good password hygiene. You're not reusing passwords. All those passwords are randomly generated. They're saved for you so you don't have to remember them, because let's face it, you're not going to remember a string of numbers and letters that you haven't linked to something, you know, say like your child's name or a phrase that you use commonly. So having them in a password manager, whether it's on the iCloud keychain or on something like NordPass or LastPass or 1Password, you only then have to remember one strong password. So the likelihood of that being cracked is far lower than if you're reusing the same password all over the place.
All right, Ciara, there's lots more to discuss on that. We might come back to you again for another chat on personal data security. Ciara O'Brien, business and tech journalist with the Irish Times.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.